Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price. Dr. Paula Price, welcome to another night of the Paula Price Show. How are you doing? Are you, hold on. Okay, go ahead. You know what? It was a technical problem happening here in the back office, but we got it straightened out.
Well, I'm glad to know that it's not me this time, because usually I'm the one that won't push the buttons right. So it lets me know that you are a little bit mortal.
Our system is mortal. I was pushing the right button, and it bounced back.
But, no, I am doing great. I'm having a wonderful time here. You know, we're coming down to the wire on our event, so that has me very, very hyped and excited. And so I'm doing well. But tonight we have a great, great show planned. I have a beloved son and Lord that has been in relationship with us a long time. We're going to be talking to him, and we're going to let him genuinely and freely share his story. We have Chief Prophet, who has been his advisor for all the time that he has been with us. And so we're going to talk about that, because we wanted to focus on a little bit on the organizational side of the assessments. We did a bit of that last week, but now we want to start bringing on the people who have experienced this. They've heard you, they've heard me, they've heard the staff, but now I want them to know that there are live people who are doing this and have nothing but great things to say about it. So that's what I'm excited about. So we're going to have Dr. Off Spears on in a little bit. But right now, I just want to talk about the assessments from the perspective of our clients. You know, I'm a firm believer that unless someone else can tell me that it's so, but, you know, we take your word for it, but you can do a lot better when you do. Off has been with us. He's a longtime client. He's almost one of our grandfathered in clients, you know. He's working on becoming a pillar in about a minute. And so he's been with us a while. We got him, and I think I'm going to turn it over to Chief Prophet in a minute, because we got him a long time ago, and he was in school at the time that we got him. He had a family. He had ministry. He had a whole lot going on. As a matter of fact, I'm very interested in hearing his story. And from time to time, I had an opportunity to talk with him. But really, it is Tyler who can tell you how they connected, what happened in the beginning days, how his progress, how she's dealt with him. And then we're going to bring him on. We'll let her introduce him, and then he'll tell us about his TPM Global assessment and advisee experience, because both of those are what we're going to talk about. He has a great story, and I just cannot wait to get started. So let me not belabor the point. Are you there, Tyler?
She will be on in just a moment. But he does have a very interesting story, and tonight's night is all about talking about those benefits of the program, Dr. Price. I like how you said you have laid the foundation for where this came from. What I like about this series so far, to date, I should say, too, is that you have displayed how much work it has taken to do this. You didn't just get an idea from the Holy Spirit and slap some things together and boom. Here we go. Years and years and years of refinement, painstaking, and I will emphasize pain, because this was a very painful process to produce. And can we say it was a very costly endeavor? Inventions are not cheap.
You know, that's a good point that you brought up about the costliness of it. Yeah, you're right. That is a very good point.
It was costly. It was costly in from everything from time and sleep to how you could or could not travel, what it took to protect your investment, all kinds of things, the systems in place, the mechanics to make it work. So whenever I can see why we have to, you know, see who God gives something to the person who can finish what they start, who does endure to the end. and who is not ashamed and breaking down in the middle, talking about God gave me this great idea, and oh, yeah, I kind of went through, and, you know, some things happened, and I'm not doing that anymore. So we know you've proven yourself with the Prophet's Dictionary, the handbook, and the library of books that you do have, and God knew he could place this in your hand to get to the body of Christ with the integrity that he wants it to have.
And believe me, Ashley, that is a true statement. And I'll tell you what else. I was stunned at how important this was to God. I think I mentioned it a little bit last week, how God was very diligent. He was very conscientious over this. Every formula, every explanation, every connection, all that went into making it happen, the descriptions and the clustering, all that went into making it happen, God was very meticulous, and he was very rigid. That's not going to say what I wanted to say. No, that's not going to bring about the result. And it turned out, as we got way down the line, because I began this in 2002, so we're talking about now, it's 2013. And the Lord has he's still babysitting it like it's brand new to him. And so, but as time went on, he began to show me, he realized that you created a tool that produces for people what may be tantamount to a life book. As a matter of fact, the advanced reports, we call them destiny books, a book on people's lives. And it's stunning to know that God is trendy, you know, that God is with technology. You know, I would think, because the tool is so intuitive, I would think, okay, well, God needs a human being to read somebody like that. But, you know, it's true that what you put in and how we put it in and how it's traced, this thing is intuitive. And it generally goes places in people's psyche that they didn't even know was there. I'm amazed at how many times people have said, you know, I forgot that. Or I used to feel that way, but I didn't think I could do that. And so I'm excited about the fact that God himself watches over this tool. But it is his word, and he's always going to watch over that to perform it. But don't you think that's the most amazing part of it, is how intuitive it is, even though it's prophesying and it's a machine?
Oh, yeah. And it never ceases to amaze me. And I think what's also very exciting is to be on these advisement calls and to hear the excitement in the people that are on the other end of the call, talking about, oh, my goodness, oh, wow, that is so true. Okay, you're really, really right about that. Let me tell you why you're right. And then we'll go into a situation that they went through that set them on the journey that they are on, that either got them in their place or got them out of their place, or cycles that keep repeating and they had no idea why. And now the language of the assessment gives the boogeyman in the corner a face. It's no longer this mysterious thing that just happens to them. It's a discernible and trackable and fixable pattern.
I like the fixable part, because people, and particularly us as Christians, with everything about how we have been reared over the past several decades, make us quite fatalistic. And we were just in a series of meetings in Arizona, and I was dealing with them about our fatalistic perspective on things. Well, that's just the way it is, or it's just the will of God, or whatever. But it is good to know that God wants to put the power in our hands to fix our issues and to be able to transfer that fix or replicate that fix onto someone else. So, yes, that part I really love. You know, people say to me, the thing that I like about your assessment, Dr. Price, is that they don't stop and tell me what happened or who I am or what I am, but they tell me how to get there. And that last piece, how to make happen what we discovered should be happening in your life, is what clinches it for people. And it just bonds them to the process, bonds them to the program, and makes them say, okay, if you're that clear on who I am and how I'm made and what it takes for me to become or manifest as that, then I'm going to trust you with the readiness part that gets us there. And I think that's what I'm going to appreciate hearing from off about, is that readiness piece. And well, I guess the whole experience will be wonderful. But that's one of the things that we hear over and over again. People are amazed that we don't just stop and say, you know, you're a prophet, and you can speak in tongues, and you have some leadership ability, and God, there's no catalog for this. These results are not a catalog list. They're not an inventory list. They literally are explanative statements, narratives on who you are and how you do what you do that is particularly suited to God's purpose for your life.
Yes, they are. And people, they know it. They know they're not canned. They know that the three or five people that I had an advisement with before them did not have the exact same call. And because no two people have the exact same call the exact same way. And that's a very, I would say, legitimizing element of the assessment.
Yes, they are. They are. Now, do we have our team on the line here?
We do. We do. We have Chief Prophet Tala Price is on the line, and Dr. Ulf Spears are both on the line, and their lines are open.
Well, we're going to have a great show then. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you, Tala, to tell us a little bit about your, because Ulf is your client, and he's a long-time client, and he is extraordinarily successful, and I want all of that to get out. So I'm going to turn it over to you and let you run with it, and then you can introduce him, and he can tell us his story. It's powerful.
Amen. Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for having me back, Dr. Price, and I am excited about the opportunity to introduce not only my longtime client, but dear friend, in this thing called ministry and marketplace, hallelujah, Dr. Ulf Spears. He is, you know, a phenomenal story. I don't want to give away too many of the secrets because he can tell it really well. You know, some people, when it's your testimony, you can tell it really well. But he started with us in 2008. He just, you know, by taking the ministry assessment, and he was one of our first people to get on what we call our post-assessment programs, okay, which include the life advisement, life tracks, ministerial development, and things of that nature. And so he was the first one to get on to do a life advisement program with us. And that's when we were first starting the program. And, you know, he took a leap of faith, and we took a leap of faith in offering this service. And he came along for the ride and stayed. Okay, stayed on that boat, stayed on that journey, and really mushroomed and blossomed and became a powerful prophet, minister, marketplace minister, coach, leader, trainer, doctor. I love saying that because he worked so hard to earn it, and we were a part of that process and praying him through. Just so you know that this thing doesn't work just in the church and in the ecclesia or simply spiritually. We work with people on all sides. And so we were able to see that journey unfold with him. And so I am excited to bring him on so that he can really tell this story and really share one of our, you know, being one of our first trophies of how the assessments can really orchestrate your life from start to finish. So I'm not going to take up any more time. And I want to give the floor to my friend, Dr. Ulf Spears.
Wow. Well, thank you. I want to first of all say thank you, Dr. Price, and thank you, Chief Prophet Tala, for having me. This is not something that I was expecting, but it's something that obviously I accept, and I just so appreciate just what you've done for my life. And so as far as history, I remember back in early 2000, end of 1999, I was a seeker of new knowledge. I was a charismatic young man doing ministry, youth pastor. And I would secretly, Dr. Price, I would secretly get your books. And so I would get them and would sometimes, you know, try to preach some stuff out of it, but, you know, would, you know, look at it. So I was getting your tapes. I remember some tapes Spiritual Protocratics. And so that was, you know, some of the stuff I began to listen to. But I was still pastoring. I was still doing ministry. And then it came to a point where in about 2003, we were pastoring, and we just felt like God was doing something different in our lives. We also at the same time felt really burnt out in ministry and really kind of disillusioned by just some of the work we were doing in the church. And then we went ahead and, you know, kind of folded up ministry, really dispersed our people into some good churches, and then we went on what we called a sabbatical. And so we went into the sabbatical. Our bishop at the time was said, you know, go for it, take some time away. Family's really tired. I then went to get my master's degree from a university, I think it was University of Phoenix, that I first looked at, and I ended up registering there and then getting my master's. But as I did that, then I began to read a little bit more of your materials, listen to some of your apostolic conferences, and then began to, you know, really dive into some of the material, but I still hadn't really come close to the ministry in any way. Right around 2006, 2007, I was getting ready to start my doctoral program and just felt like I was at a point where I wanted to really find out really what the Lord was saying to me, because I didn't feel like I was going to be going back to pastoring, because I just didn't feel like pastoring was, you know, my long-time call, even though I had pastored for about eight years in, you know, different capacities. I ended up just calling the office and got somebody there and began to meet with Chief Prophet Tala, and she began to, you know, meet with me once or twice, and then we talked about a long-term plan for me to get me going. I was super disillusioned and didn't know how the depths of what was really going on. And then, you know, over time, over the, you know, next few years, began to kind of come back online. That's what Chief Robert would always say, it's time to come back online. I didn't know I was offline, you know. And so I began to get back into the flow of things. And it's interesting. I started feeling as though I was kind of living again. I was alive again spiritually. You know how much I had been disgruntled by ministry in the church. And then there was a certain point where I really bought in, and I began to believe in, you know, what was going on, the assessments, all the books that you have. My family, to be honest, at the time, my family was like, what are you reading? What are you listening to? And I was just drawn to it. And to this day, I still don't know why. I mean, I live in, you know, the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, every call that comes on, every conference that happens, everything, I want to be part of it in some way. And so I went ahead and really dove in 2006, 2007, was doing I think I did an MAQ, and then I did the PAQ assessments, and the very in-depth, gave direction, gave next steps. I was able to begin to see myself in the light that I believe God had called me. It had me reflect back on how God had called me in the first place, not as a pastor, but as a prophet. And so really took some time to really dig into my insides and find out kind of where I really was. I did the monthly, which I still do, the monthly advisement, 1 hour once a month. And I've, again, been doing that for several years. And what it's produced is, number one, I now have a doctorate degree from Regent University.
Hallelujah.
First. That's the first thing. Second thing is that my family is online, finally, with what I'm doing. I mean, this is the first year after years of prayer from your ministry, Dr. Price. My family is now, you know, asking me questions about, you know, and excited about me going and coming this year to the, Tulsa Prophetic Forum. They didn't understand at first, and so it was just different for them. So the other thing is I began to do ministry stuff, outreach, ministering to some churches, also doing, lots of seminars and trainings. I work in a large corporation called Inside Track with 350 coaches. And so I work there 9 to 5. And I would say I'm one of the few Jesus prophets that are there. There's a lot of other kind of prophets, but I'm one of the few And it's just,
now, you know, you're
going to
tell us
that.
About that in a minute, though, right? I'm going to have to. We're going to talk about that on the pod.
Yeah, that is pretty. I think that might have been the most shocking thing that I've. Because I wasn't used. I was used to church. I wasn't used to the marketplace. And so I think that was the major, one of the major shockers. So I work there 9 to 5 daily. I also teach as an adjunct instructor and thesis advisor at a Christian university in Portland, Oregon. And then I also mentor and train, you know, upcoming leaders from that program. So lots of master's students that come through there. I end up working with them. And, you know, to name one person that you would know is Kim Dixon, the young lady who – That's a young lady. She got connected with the ministry, your ministry, and I've just been, bringing in, you know, really pointing her toward the ministry there. So it's been, so much. I'm finally coming back to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum this year. I've been away for a few years, just, you know, trying to, you know, put all this together, and voila, here I am.
Well, I want to ask you, first of all, I want to, just for the benefit of our listeners, I want to tell you what they are. The MAQ is the Minister's Assessment Questionnaire. And the Minister's Assessment Questionnaire is the one you would take to find out what kind of minister you are. It deals with your beliefs, your values, your experiences, your exposure, your intelligence, your emotional intelligence. It talks about your character. It digs a little bit in that. And it doesn't, not to say, oh, gee, you're the worst person going, but to let you know how you approach ministry as a representative of Jesus Christ. It's going to tell you about how you feel about, you know, secularism and scripture and all of those things. Great tool, but it's the MAQ is the Minister's Assessment Questionnaire. The second one, the PAQ, is your specialized questionnaire. And I'm going to have him tell you a little bit more about that as a prophet when I'm done, but the PAQ is the Prophetic Assessment Questionnaire. It comes in 3 levels, and you have to take the MAQ in order to be able to take it, because why would we give you a specialized one until we know what your position is? So the MAQ is our generalized assessment questionnaire. It's just for all the firefighters, business people, doesn't matter. It's for all of that. Now, the PAQ is the specialized one, and it has the beginner, intermediate, and advanced. The beginner is to let us know who's awakening, or even if you are a prophet or you're just prophetic, are you an ancestor? The intermediate is for the person who definitely is a prophet. And so it's scaled. It goes up. It's an escalating question track. And then the advanced, of course, is that person who has been in it a while, knows it, educated, all of those kinds of things. So I wanted you to be clear on what it was. When you call or go to our website, drpaulaprice.com, or you call our line, 877-419-1299, you will be able to talk about certainly your MAQ. That all of them give you an advisement, but if you're a first-time assessee, you need to take that MAQ. A couple of things I wanted to ask you also, if I might. Number one, I would love for you to share a little bit about your and expectations of being a marketplace prophet and your realities as a marketplace prophet. I would love for you to share a little bit about that. And then before you do that, though, I'm going to bump that question down one, and I'm going to ask you, share with our listeners what your experience with PPM Global and your track contributed to your being able to move out on these things.
Okay. All right. So what – The thing that PPM Global, and I'll answer this one first, PPM Global contributed was to prepare me for really the marketplace. When I took my assessment, I found out that, yes, I am prophetic, and then, you know, a heavy part of that is teaching and education. I'm used to the church. I was used to functioning and flowing in the church. I had no idea what to expect. So a lot of the training that, Chief Prophet Tala gave and that we began to walk through was moving me out of really changing my mindset about what ministry really was and breaking me out of the box of just, you know, the ecclesia into the marketplace, into the kingdom, into the world. And so that was the biggest, for me, the biggest thing was breaking me out of my kind of ministerial box and bringing me to a place where I can minister on a broader stage.
Okay, and how did you recognize that? I mean, what made that make sense to you? And I'm asking because, you know, people, we hear testimonies all the time, and yours is very powerful, but we'd like to know, like, at what point did you say, you know what, this is not just religious, or this is not just church, or this is not just spiritual?
You know, I started recognizing, I'll be honest, I started recognizing how religious I was. And that was, I mean, that's the reality. I was like, man, I'm really religious, you know. And I began to, we talked it through, and I remember just that revelation, going, wow, I'm really religious. And so, it was brought about by, number one, I would say I had some prejudices about certain things. I had some thoughts about certain things. I had some religious views about certain things. And to be honest with you, I recognized that what I was doing wasn't working, and what I was doing was not, I'll even go this far, was not pleasing God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Then
pleasing God. And what that simply, what I look at that as is simply, I was doing religious activities that I was expecting results from, but never got.
Mm. Did you know the results you were expecting? Had you registered those consciously?
Yeah, yes, I did, and I wasn't seeing it. And really, eventually, I went back and looked. That was the source of my frustration.
Okay.
So my frustration was that I was expecting God, and I was getting something else. I was getting form, I was getting fashion, I was getting, you know, a lot of different things, but I wasn't getting the power of God. I wasn't getting the real results, you know, in ministry. I was getting a touch. I was getting a flow. I was getting a whisper. I mean, I was getting all kinds of little stuff, but I wasn't getting real change in people's lives. And that's one of the reasons why I backed up from things, was because I was constantly seeing less than what I believed God had, and so I got discouraged.
Do you think that you could say, just for the people who are listening, do you think you could maybe name three things, three concrete, tangible things that you got, that you know you got, and that are instead of just a soft result, a hard result, that you were looking for, and you know you got it?
A hard result from the advisements?
Uh-huh, from the whole process, yeah, but especially from the advisement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say I got an ability to look at things from a honest, real perspective, so that I would say wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I would say wisdom. Wisdom, and I would say it was taught, it was all that, but it was also imparted, I think, through the process and this gaining the wisdom along the way. So I would say wisdom number one, for sure, because I knew the scripture, I knew about the anointing, all those different things, but I had no wisdom. I was a baby. I was just like a kid in a candy store, very heavily charismatic, just swinging, praying all kinds of wild prayers, didn't know what I was stirring up, just doing all kinds of just wild stuff. You know, it was about the power, and it was about this and that. So wisdom. I would say the second thing would be that I got that I could not be a solo minister who left my family behind while I went ahead.
Excellent. Good point.
That was huge. I mean, I remember even telling you can probably talk about this. I remember saying, please, slow me down, please, like that. And she said, what? Oh, no. Uh-uh. No, you need to, that. You have it, really. Let's back up. This time, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, Chief Prophet, this time, let's not have it like that way. This time, let's bring them along. And so So I was beginning to be patient. I had to be patient. I had to learn patience. I would say that would be the third thing, patience. I learned the fact that God had to do walk me through a process. I couldn't just have it now. That was hard. That was hard for me because I had been taught in charismatic churches and think that if you could speak it, you could speak it out. You could get it, you know, now, you know. And the truth was, it wasn't now. It was I needed to walk through the process that God had for me and learn what he wanted to do with me and learn, you know, just how he wanted to use me and in what timing he wanted to use me and what industry. I think that was a huge one. I had been in the wrong industry for so long.
Tell me about that part. What industry were you in?
Yeah, you know, I was doing nonprofit for years,
uh-huh.
And my wife challenged me and said, okay, when are you going to get a real job? We laughed and everything. That set me on me going back to school to get a degree, and then I found out how much I loved education. And really, my area of industry, I feel like I'm a minister in the marketplace, but I'm in the areas of education and coaching. Those are the main two areas.
Excellent.
And so education is the major area. Coaching is kind of the vehicle in which I really work with people. And so, but I would have never known. And then it's interesting when I found that out, that I got a job in that area.
Wow. So much opened up. So let me ask you a question that you probably have not thought about, but I would like to ask you, since you are a prophet, and what role do you think the prophetic played in in facilitating this journey for you?
Oh, my goodness. So we talked about this the other day, Chief Robin, about how basically following the word of the prophet and you will prosper.
Mm-hmm.
That was a scripture that just jumped out as we were talking in one of our advisements the other day. Literally taking and doing, that's the key word, being obedient and doing what the prophet told every week and walking through that process. And then over the years, I believe I'm in this place right now because I consistently, you know, and I wasn't perfect. There's times where I was a little upset, a little offended, you know, a little, you know, I need to take a step back a little bit. Not sure if I want to talk to her next week. You know, those kind of feelings. Those feelings.
You were human, huh? You were human.
But then you just have to, you know, have to just then, okay, you know, she's right, and what, you know, what we went through is correct. I have to, you know, and then you take it, you obey it, and you bring back, you say, this is what, and then you're honest. I'm not happy with this. This is not doesn't feel right. Feel good, but I know this is where I need to go.
Excellent.
And then I will walk through it, and literally the prophet's words is the thing, and the wisdom and everything with that brought me to where I am today. I can literally say that.
That is such a blessing. I'm going to pull you in for 1 second here, Prophet Tyler, and I'm going to ask you, how did you work with the assessment in your development and your advisements with him? I mean, how can you say that his results spoken to what you did with him that produced the results that he got in his life?
Well, I can definitely say that it, of course, if the assessments, you know, provide for a mentor, coach, you know, obviously for us because our programs are based on that, but I think it can provide for any mentor or coach a roadmap for where you want to take someone. It provides such great information, not only the typical statistics of where they fall in the five folds and how compatible, that's key. You want to find out what the level of compatibility is with those fivefold ministry offices or speakers of ministry. That is very helpful because that gives you somewhat of a framework for what they need to be doing in the kingdom of God and what they need to be focusing on. You know, finding out for him, he took the prophetic aptitude questionnaire first, so we first dealt with the fact that he was a prophet. When he took the MEQ, a lot of his teaching ability showed up, and that love for education that he mentioned showed up, so we were able to start moving him towards that direction. As he pointed out, he was like, look, I done did everything I need, you know, I thought I should do in the church. I don't even know what to do next or what's going on with this. And being able to have the assessment to say, well, no, you genuinely are called to the prophetic and to be this prophet, but you're going to do it from this vantage point out in the marketplace using the teaching and educational aspects of your makeup, and then starting there being the framework, and then building into the nitty-gritty of what God specifically wanted him to do with those tools and those resources. And so it really does, it is that lamp unto the feet, if you will, and that light unto the path that enabled us to stay within a framework. What I love about the assessments is that normally when you enter into a situation like this where you're trying to counsel and coach someone back, you have to do a lot of praying and sifting in the spirit and somewhat, sometimes even maybe guessing, okay? We talked about taking the guesswork out of things, guessing what a person needs to be, and it takes, a long dialogue and hours of working through this and sorting through that before you reach the heart of what they're really called to do. The assessments cut that time tremendously, in half, if not even more than half, two-thirds down for you, because it provides that immediate roadmap. So he and I were able to start working immediately on building the structure, the foundation that would become his not only his destiny, but I believe his destination. And then, of course, if you add the components of the emotional intelligence coupled with the strengths and deficiencies that come out, you really get a composite of what you need, of what kind of treatment plan you need to develop to not only help a person get into their calling, okay, identify their calling, but also begin to address some of the obstacles and barriers that they're going to meet along the way, some things that are already, at work in their lives that they're aware of, okay, and then other things that, as he pointed out, those uncomfortable days when you have to work through things that you're not aware of that are possible barriers that are going to keep you from getting where you need to be. And so it provides that information for the person as well. I love the fact that it goes beyond being a personality test, because your personality, yes, it's important, but when it comes to actually getting somebody ready, like he said, he wanted results. He was looking for fruit to be able to do the job. Knowing those obstacles, those barriers, those strengths and those weaknesses, having those ratios there, really help you to say, okay, how effective will he be at doing this job right now? And what is keeping him from being effective? There's more tangible things than just how he feels like he was performing. Okay. We actually had an external measurement, something a little more objective than both he and I's feelings about who he was and what we liked or didn't like. So it gave me some targets as an advisor, some goals to set for him. And he knows I pressed him. There's some days I just pressed him to meet those goals and those objectives and saying, no, you can do this, and we're going to do it this way. So to challenge him a little bit, from that standpoint. Of course, very encouraging along the way and really inspiring him more so than, making him criticizing. Our sessions were not about being criticizing from the negative point of not being constructive, but it was more so about inspiring him to say, but this is what this assessment says you have the potential to do. Do you want to strive for that potential? Can we do this? All we need to do is, as you pointed out before, Dr. Price, weaknesses are nothing but strengths underdeveloped. So we just go ahead and develop these areas that are kind of putting too much weight and pressure on the things that you do well. We can go ahead and get those strong. It's kind of like how when you have an injury, you almost weaken your other, other portions of your body, leg, arm, or whatever, putting too much pressure on it while you're compensating for what is underdeveloped. So we pull those things out and get you strong, then you can possibly do that. So I would say those key areas, not just knowing the vital statistics, but that emotional intelligence, those deficiencies, the expanded results, which most people don't know. You did mention that life book, and also we get two versions as an advisor, which is great. One version that lets us know how to deal with the performance aspect of the ministry, which he and I addressed in many sessions, but also the developmental side. The expanded result literally tells you how this person learns and how this person thinks and functions. So we have one that's dealing with function, we have one that's dealing with performance, and then, of course, the emotional intelligence. You combine those three things together, you have, a very successful treatment plan as a coach and a mentor in which you don't have to stab in the dark, but really can rely on some tools and resources to help you get a person there. And then that person can also go back, when we look at the results again together, measure their own success.
Wow. So now, How did that, okay, you were going to school, because you say you were going to school and you were going for your doctorate, and you're a prophet, and then you're in a secular environment. How are you juggling all of this? How are you managing it emotionally, psychologically, you know, professionally? How is that working for you?
Well, you know, now it's working a lot better. I had some rude awakenings because I did, about a year ago, I got a job working in the corporate world in really a innovative large coaching organization, and came in thinking, you know, it was going to be, to be honest, kind of like church, you know. You know, you're nice people everywhere. I mean, you know, it was a great organization. It's been around 10 years, doing well, innovative, top 10, fast company, all these different things. And I had a good time for about 3 months, and this goes with the expectation. My expectation was, man, I'm just here. I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow. And the thing I ran into was that I wasn't the only prophet there. I'm a Jesus prophet, but there was a lot of other kinds of prophets that were functioning from intuition and all these different things, and functioning with from, you know, pulling from different gods. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that. And so I would come in, and I'm happy and everything. I'm talking to people. And so I recognized people were not happy I was there, some of the people. And I'm like, why are you not, you know, really, you know. I'll even, I guess, go as far as to say it was time about 6 months into my time there where literally I would wake up, you know, in the middle of the night screaming out, crying out, because I was being attacked by something. And we eventually prayed that through. But literally, it was spiritual warfare. I'm like, man, Lord, what's going on? So I found out that God had placed me there as, you know, one of his agents, and he needs to, and this is what, you know, Chief Prophet mentioned to me, he needs a, you know, a representative from his kingdom there. He needs somebody in that arena. And so, you know, I found out that God had chose me as one of his prophets to do that. And so that's the first thing. Second thing, I literally came under attack. Some people began to, you know, try to get me to leave the organization. And one meeting, one of our advisements, Chief Prophet, asked me, or we were talking, and I said, well, I almost left today. She said, oh, Lord, thank you. You didn't leave, because she thought I had left.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was so much attack. And I was like, man, what's going on? So from that day until now, I've been there about a year and a few months. Now I understand a great deal more about what it is to be a Christ prophet in the middle of a lot of different other, you know, kinds of prophets that are not, you know, obviously other, you know, prophets other than Christ, and to be able to function in that. And the thing that always comes back to my mind when I'm at work, when I'm doing what I'm doing, is back when I came to the Close Prophetic Forum, and you talked about the Daniel era. And literally, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm a prophet in the midst of different kinds of prophets from other gods.
Isn't that powerful? But isn't that a wonderful opportunity once you get your head on straight about it?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So you're affecting people's lives. You're able to, you know, do things. And also, here's the other part. You understand how you get to see how they do things. That's the other part. You get to learn what they do, and you watch them do, you know, do all kinds of contortions and do all kinds of things, and you're going, huh, that's how they do that. And then you get information, so you know how to, you know, work with them, how to pray, how to, you know. And then, to be honest, these are the kind of things that Chief Prophet talked to me about and said, we want to know about these things all, because you're seeing all this stuff in the marketplace. And so to bring back this information to the body of Christ. So,
well, how do you feel? What would you say to all of the people who have not yet gone into the marketplace, but they have their own rose-colored glasses about what it is to be a marketplace prophet? What would you say to someone like that?
You know, I would say that it's not church. I would say first thing. The second thing is you want to be be profitable as an employee and a prophet in the marketplace. So you can't go being ready just to prophesy and do all these other things. You literally have to be good at your job,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that people, you know, that they look to you, you know. And I would say the other thing is scriptures and the way you apply them and just your whole way, the whole way you carry yourself as a prophet in the marketplace is totally different than when you're in the church. I mean,
for example,
I would say, for example, you're a person of character, you're a person of stature, you're not constantly prophesying. I would say that would be a big one, meaning what opportunities do I have? Well, to be honest, I have a lot of opportunities when I'm coaching. Literally, I've had some calls. And this is really interesting. I've had calls where we tape all of our calls at work. And so I've had calls with people and they observe them on a like weekly basis. And I had a call, and this happened maybe 10 times, 10, 15 times. I'm doing a call and the observer will say, well, when did they tell you that this was happening in their life? And I say, you know what? They say, well, I don't remember them telling you that. I'm constantly walking through that, and I'm really prophesying and picking up things and talking to the you know person I'm client I'm coaching and whatever, and I'm prophesying and I'm using wisdom in our conversations, but that's totally different than what I would do in the church. In the church, I might stand up and prophesy, or I might give a declaration, or I might give wisdom or word or something like that. It's totally different. So I would say the administration of the prophetic is totally different.
Well, that is excellent. And I want to just jump in for a moment and say, to those of you who are listening, you need to recognize that the prophet's mantle is not just predictive. That is a piece that we have to deal with, because the gift of prophecy is predictive. And it is pretty much exclusively predictive. Maybe I would go so far as to say probably as high as 92% predictive. You're seeing that word of knowledge, that word of wisdom or whatever, but more the word of knowledge than anything else. When you are occupying the office, you're donning the mantle of the prophet, you are moving more in wisdom than anything else. And so in that umbrella called wisdom, we have the insight, you have discernment, you have detection, and all of those other elements of the prophet's service that don't necessarily, well, probably are not even thought of by the person moving by the gifts. That's one main reason that you know if a person is destined for the office or the gift, because prophets, the official prophet, is known. I talk about this in my book, The Prophet's Handbook. I discuss it a little bit in The Prophet's Dictionary. And so, but I talk about the prophet's handbook will tell you how that office is mostly known for human insight and human wisdom. That is why so many people on your job can do that even though they're serving something else. Because prophets, if you're in the gifting, you are about telling people what's going to happen, what they're going to get, and all of that. If you're in the office, you are in their and you have brought them in your office. It's as if you brought a person into your office to sit down and have a consult with them. And in that capacity, God opens that book. And he begins to let you know. And because of how you're built, because of that kingdom apparatus that causes you to be an effective divine communicator for the Lord Jesus Christ, you can go in there because he is the maker of all flesh. So there's no question that he doesn't know. And there's no question that he won't say if it's worth its while to tell you. And so I thought it was really good to hear you say that, because we often lock the prophetic into telling the future or prediction, and that is just one of its elements, one factor. I the first passage of scripture that delivered me from that was Moses' illustration in Exodus 18, where Jethro said, "What are you doing? These people are standing here all day lying. You got the lion around the corner. What's going on?" And he named the things that he was doing. And one of those things was, I tell them how to live right with God. You know, I'm telling them the good and right way. I'm telling them what their work is and all those kinds of things. A prophet is going to be that life counselor for a person. And the difference between that and a regular counselor is that the prophet is going to speak not only into your light and seek your limit, but the prophet is going to speak into that darkness, that thing you don't know, that thing that nobody knows but God. You know, you need half of you buried. The human being, the human soul can bury so many experiences that don't die, they just bury, that they don't realize how much is going on down there in that place that that God needs to touch. And he needs to heal in that soul. And so I'm glad to hear you say that you know, in the church, when we have a line, you know, first of all, I don't know about you, but I used to do, you know, the prophetic presbyteries. I don't do them a lot any longer. I don't like to do them. Mm-hmm. I don't like to do them because I go to most churches, and the pastor wants you to say 5 seconds to somebody, and you're looking at this person talking about, "I need to give you a card."
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. I go wrong. And I cannot give you a 30-second prophecy. And so either that or you don't have time, you know, because they just want you to predict. And so I started telling them, "Don't call me. I'm not the woman for the job. Don't ask me to do that because I am a full-service voice of God. I'm not going to give you the quick trip. You're not going to be the get-and-go, hit-and-smith. I'm going to give you the full service." So that's why I love PPM Global. I love what we're doing. My prophets are not limited to waiting for somebody to let them come in and get on some presbytery to tell people whatever. We created a career for them. We created a job for them where they can literally minister to people. And as she just pointed out, bring them from where they are to where God has destined them to be. I like it as hard. And so I'm happy to hear you say that. So I have another question for you.
Yes.
You're going to like this one. You said that you went to school and you got your doctorate degree while you were doing this, and you went to a very good school. I happen to absolutely love Regent University, everything about them. I always loved it. So I'm celebrating you for doing that. But can you talk about, were there any conflicts with you being a prophet and then being on this program and then going through that academic path to get your doctorate?
Oh, not at all. Matter of fact, they were compatible. I felt as though the program I was in, and really the whole school, is heavily apostolic and prophetic, and they push heavily innovation. And so it's very interesting. I think it was very compatible. It I wouldn't even say it was supplemental. I would say they were both necessary. As a matter of fact, I even thought about at a point stepping out of my doctorate to just focus in on other things. And one of the things, you know, Chief Prophet Tala said was, you know, as we talked, we came to the conclusion, the doctorate was part of my calling, and God needed it to do what he wanted to do.
Wow.
So,
now,
yeah.
Tell somebody what that means. When you say, I know what it means, because, you know, we've had these discussions. I know what it means. But I want you to tell the people listening, if the prophet is a quote-unquote spiritual office, which is what we know, what we think, then why would you need something as worldly as a doctorate to facilitate that calling?
Well, I mean, a prophet is, you know, more than just your spirit. I mean, they have to be able to, you know, have a disciplined mind, a educated mind. One of the, you know, books that you've written is on God as a thinker, and God needs thinkers. He needs people, anointed thinkers who understand his mind and what he wants to do in the world, and that's the part of just bringing that whole prophet, the whole person, to the table instead of just a part of the person. I used to just bring my spirit to God. Oh, God, my spirit. Oh, hallelujah, speaking in tongues and worshiping and all that. But I started recognizing the more I got into the program and more I had the advisements that God wanted all of me at the table. And so that's the part that I think was also a huge surprise to me, that God, he cared about my mind, he cares about my body, he cares about all those aspects, he wants all of that, and he wants me to bring all of that to the table, and he wants all of it to be refined. And he wants it, all of it to be ready to serve him. And so that's my take on just kind of how and why God does what he does with the whole person and not just the part. And he wanted the doctorate so that it could help to extend his kingdom
into the workplace that you're in.
Yes, exactly.
Isn't that peculiar? Because we often, and I, believe me, I fight this all the time. I meet people, they say, I'm a prophet, or I'm an apostle or minister, and all I want to do is go to ministry school. No, but you know what? If you're called to the marketplace, to everybody who's listening, then you need to play by their rules, and you need to find them. You need to go and get your education and do whatever else it takes for you to get that entree into that world. Otherwise, where are we going to go into all the world? Granted, you don't need it to evangelize, but you do need it to evangelize if you will agree off at certain strata.
Oh, yes.
Certain,
I have a quick testimony. There are several master students that I go to a Christian college that reaches out to people who are I teach at Christian college that reaches out to people that from the marketplace that are saved and unsaved. Several people who met Christ at that college through their ministry, because I'm a doctor, because I'm their thesis advisor, because I met with them on a consistent basis and God affected their life.
That's powerful. That is powerful. And you know what? Considering how our modern world views education versus religion, you know that's a major achievement, because many of those people would not have listened to you if you had not carried the credentials that they could respect.
That's totally right. They even said that. They said that's why they said, I don't know why, but I need to have what you have, or talk to me about this. I mean, yeah. True.
That's a good, very good. Well, we're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about prophets and the assessment versus the anointing. That'll give you time to get a drink of water and collect your thoughts, because we're going to come back and talk about assessments versus the anointing for uncovering our destiny. So we'll be right back. Ashley, are you there?
I am here, and we're going to a break.
Have you ever wondered, why do I hear from God? Is what happens when I pray normal? Why do I think so differently? Is my relationship with God unusual? How do I explain my experiences with God? Does anyone else experience these things? I have so many talents, but how do I find my purpose? I know I'm called to ministry, but where do I begin? These daily questions lead to one solution. Introducing the Standardized Ministry Assessments Series. What was on God's mind when He made you? Find out how our assessments can help you uncover your greatest mystery, you. Our Standardized Ministry Assessments consist of 800 ministry-specific questions, 114 ministry-based categories, 50 ministry classifications, a comprehensive gift analysis, fivefold office identifiers, automatic response indicators, targeted benchmark scoring, automated result interpretations, custom readiness path options, call-specific recommendations, personal ministry advisement. Is this basically a personality test? No. Your results are custom designed and not based on the traditional data used to determine your personality type or IQ. Instead, your results come from you, how you think, and what you believe, not predetermined categories into which you must loosely fit. Dr. Paula Price's nearly 25 years of research and experience see to that. How is this different from a spiritual gift test? Our assessments are not a test, and assess more than just your spiritual gift, what you are good at and may be interested in doing for your church. We help you define your ministry calling, how ready you are to do it full time, the type of training you need to do it well, and the best place for you to prosper, whether in or out of the church. They don't just give you a number, they give you a life plan. We offer three levels of assessments: the Ministry Assessment Questionnaire, the Prophetic Aptitude Questionnaire, the Apostolic Diagnostic. So what's your ministry IQ? Discover yours today. www.drpaulaprice.com or call 877-649-PPMG.
And we are back live with Dr. Paula Price, Chief Prophet Paula Price, Dr. Ulf Spears, on a very, very, very dynamic episode of the Paula Price Show, talking about the benefits and the perks of our mentorship training program, all the dynamics that go with it. So, Dr. Price, you posed a very, very interesting question to Dr. Spears before the break.
I know. I wanted to, because, you know how, let me tell you the foundation of the question, and then I'll repeat it. First of all, let me just repeat it so everybody remember what I said. I wanted us to talk about assessment versus anointing. Now, here is the context in which I used it. Many Christians won't do assessments because they say the Holy Spirit has told them who they are or will tell them who they are, or they want to get their answers or destiny from a prophet, or a prophetic word from somebody, dream, vision, it doesn't matter. And so they feel like the assessments are just not anointed enough, or they don't give them enough information, or no, I don't want to say that they're too worldly. And so there's no place for that in the prophetic, or and certainly not to tell somebody who they are in the prophet's office. So I've laid that out for you, Dr. Ulf. I want you to tell me, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, wow. You know, I knew before I came to PPM Global about the anointing. I mean, I saw the anointing. I saw, you know, the anointing on my life, on other people's lives, things like that. You know, to be honest with you, the anointing was wonderful, but it wasn't, I will use this word, it was not focused. It wasn't in my calling area. For me, it was almost like a shotgun thing. I needed the assessment to help to point me in the right direction, so that I could then begin to use the advisement times to make those steps toward what God had called me to do. That's a totally different thing. The anointing for me is more, it's the presence of the Lord. It's you know, anointing, gifting, all those different things. But that doesn't mean that you're in. It'll be like a boxer that's supposed to be in a ring, in being in the street, swinging in any direction for a fight. That's how I was before I connected with the assessments. I was a guy who had a, you know, anointing, a calling, all these things, but had no idea where to use it.
What would you say to someone if you wanted them to understand where God's spirituality can be grounded in very tangible things?
Could you repeat that question?
What would you say to someone who wanted to know where God's spirituality can be grounded? For example, you've made a great case for prophetic education. You've made a great case for your personal testimony, for school, for the assessments and all of that. But to that person who says, you know, I think spiritual things are spiritual, and I think that natural things are natural, and this sounds like it's really a natural thing, what would you say to them?
Well, I would say that the spiritual thing is, I mean, well, I would say this. I, as a church person who grew up in the church and was obviously saved in the church, all that, I thought the spiritual was really almost all there was, meaning my body didn't matter, my mind didn't matter, any of those different things. I would say that people's spirituality is that part that I would say most
easily and quickly connects them to God. But a quick second and third is your mind and your body, and those all those three things need to be lined up together so that you can fully serve God. And so that's what I would say to that. I would say to the person out there looking to take the assessment to really understand that the assessment is not just something to, like they mentioned, a test or something just to say, hey, you know, this is what direction you might be going, so on and so forth. It's literally a signpost from God pointing to your destiny and saying, will you go down that road? Will you take the trip? I mean, that was a question that I got constantly from Chief Prophet. Are you sure? do you want to take this trip? Do you want to go down this road? And I would have to constantly answer that. After a while, I was telling Chief Prophet, why do you keep asking me that? You know? Because he kept asking me, because it was like, do you know what you're getting into? But do you understand that, you know, meaning she wanted me to willingly go down that road. She didn't want to, you know, force me, or she didn't want to, you know, tell me. She needed me to willingly want to go down that road to become, I would say, more of a whole Christian rather than just a Christian who was heavily spiritual but couldn't mentally make it through the day because of spiritual warfare that maybe is on your mind, or tiredness from work, all these other things that pull on everybody, on people. We don't know how much that aspect affects our spirit,
mm-hmm.
You know? And so the spiritual is there, but if my mind can't withstand spiritual warfare, if my body can't withstand it, then I never can really get to my destiny, you know? And so that's what I would say.
You know, that is a very good answer. And I will tell you something that God spoke to me. When people say to me, you know, I just stay with the Bible. That's all I do. Well, first of all, you have to agree with me. The assessments are quite Bible-based. But one of the things God said to me, he said, I always had the Ten Commandments, but nobody knew anything about them until I put them on a mountain. Because God is spirit. He's invisible and inaudible, and frankly, unknowable until we put him in some sort of tangible context. So that's the first thing I would say to you all. You have a Bible that you say is spiritual, but it's on paper. It's on CDs. It's on physical, earthly objects, so that it becomes tangible to the five senses. As he just said, your intelligence needs that. Your eyes, your five senses need that. It's source. We can't confuse the source of what God wants us to learn with the media that he needs us to receive it on. So we need to remember that. The other thing is, likewise, we take the Ten Commandments. Let's take them now. We've taken them off of the mountainside. We put them down on the tablets. Then we wrote them on scrolls and down through the era. We finally got it on paper. But the same thing happened with the Son of God. Jesus Christ was spiritual. He was spirit in heaven. But in order for us to know Jesus Christ and for us to understand Jesus Christ and for us to appreciate him, you know, I like the way John says, he said, we have handled the word of life. There need to be a physical person in our time, on our books, or in our vital statistic, whatever. We need to know that there was a person who came here as God, and that this person who's gone back home that we no longer see is still alive and vibrant today. Why? Because he came from heaven to earth. He brought invisibility into our visible selves so that we can become like him. And so when people talk to me about the assessment, and you get, you know, this generation is a little bit more open to it than previous ones, and as we move further down the line, we find people a lot more receptive to it. But still, you meet those who feel like that's carnal. And I say, you go to work every day, that's carnal. You go to church in a carnal vessel. You listen to a preacher from a carnal word. We really have to open up our minds and say, why can't we pursue our excellence using the same tools that we use for everything else that we rely on for success? So that's why I ask you that question, because oftentimes we run into that. Now, you have an advisor there. We're going to ask her to speak to her a little bit more of her experience with you and her impression of how you have arrived to where you are right now. Are you still there?
Of course. Yes, ma'am.
I know you've been silent a long time. I didn't want you to think that we wrote you off the call.
No, that's fine.
So talk to us a little bit about it. This is from what you got in, what did you say, 2008, into this powerful man that we're listening to today. How does that affect you, knowing that you had such a role in it?
Oh, I think it's, you know, of course, it's great in getting an opportunity to really, again, kind of see what you're saying in action in terms of genuine marketplace ministry, because it was the professional service that we were providing, because we were dealing with ministerial elements, and because the Lord and the Holy Spirit was involved, and getting to see all of those pieces come together to, you know, really feed into the development of this, you know, of this life, and watching God partner with it. I mean, he really does partner with the assessments, and, you know, because God's not necessarily out of order either, and he kind of works with the systems that are in place as well, and he really did partner with me and in the process of bringing him forward, because it was, you know, obviously very heavily reliant upon not only the tools and the resources that were right in front of us, but how to make those tools and resources fit into a life. And for that, you need the Holy Spirit, who is life. And so I really enjoyed the process of this, and being one of my first clients and still one of my longest ones, watching him mature and grow and come into the person that God has for him, very exciting process. And I think he already articulated something that's very key. If you want to get something out of it, is working through, you know, the difficulties and really pressing to believe, you know, his prophets and prosper in God's word, to be established and all of those things. You really do need to believe in it and definitely obey it and be willing to be transformed. And he was willing to transform and to come into what was necessary for him to enter into destiny. And it was more important to him to get into that destined place than it was to kind of, you know, fight the process. And so I enjoyed working with him and still enjoy working with him. I mean, he went through the whole entire dream for us, you know, starting off as one of our first clients, taking the assessment, going through our development program, and now partnering with us to help others. And so to see him now be a part of, you know, coming on our home team and being a part of being able to share this and replicate this in someone else's life is really, I have to say, one of the most rewarding things. Obviously, watching this man get into the call is the most rewarding. But now to know that he can replicate this and is going to be working with us to replicate this process is exciting. I'm excited.
I am too, and I'm extremely proud of him because he has really thought through. And it, you know, it's an interesting thing. God gave us the first time pattern. If one person can get it right, he set up. He has a model. He has a prototype. And truthfully, Dr. Off, you are that model and that prototype. I thank God for you. Now we're gonna take a break and hear some testimonies, and you're gonna hear a testimony that's gonna set you up for telling us what, after we listen to our testimony, you'll have an opportunity to tell us how you utilize this with your own mentees, both in the church. You already told us about the university, but now your other mentees. And some of their backgrounds to let us know what kind of people this is affecting and drawing. Okay, so we're ready. Ashley, if you are, we're ready.
I am ready, Dr. Price. We have some written testimonies that came in that I'm going to read, and then we have one from one of your other Paula Price shows on Thursday from a reoccurring character on the Paula Price show. Kim, along with her family, her extraordinarily large family that we were discovering week after week, you ended up speaking and ministering to her children, and then you ultimately found out that the family is 15 large.
Jesus.
And so, you know, you could be talking to them for a while. But the first one that I'm going to read here is from Bernice, and she said, I had such a wonderful experience with my assessment given by Prophet Adia.
It was a professional experience and truly a woman of God called by him. It was a melting pot for me. By the end of my assessment, peace and refreshing was uplifting for me. There was confirmation that was spoken into my life in which the Lord had spoken to me personally in the past. I was given hope, knowledge, and understanding in what direction the Lord is bringing me to. It is awesome to be able to minister the gospel of all saints around the world, to bless and to usher them into their calling. I encourage everyone to experience such a tremendous work in this ministry and share the blessing to everyone they can. I would like to thank her apostle, Suzanne Howard of Connecticut, and Paula Price Ministries for their work in the gospel. We will be seeing Apostle Suzanne also this week at the forum. So I think the whole world, who is about half of them who have taken the assessment, is descending upon us in Tulsa.
I love it. Is that great?
Yes. Yes, it is. And then we have, let's see, I can read a piece of one more. Hello, Paula Price
yes.
Ministries and Dr. Price. I would like to thank you for the assessment I took. Now, she took this around 2009 to 2010, and she said it brought confirmation and affirmation to the call of the apostle. Currently, I stand in the prophetic office, and I'm doing the work of an apostolic prophet. I have been able to progress in my apostolic training, and now God has aligned me to receive training directly under my God-designed apostle, and in his Kairos timing, I will be commissioned and officially recognized to the body. And so she says, thanks for your input in my initial training, and as God directs, I am sure I will be getting more of your material. So those are a few written words. Now, here is an audio clip, the audio clip from Kim, who is extraordinarily articulate in her evaluation of that assessment. So it's about a minute long, and it's very entertaining as well.
Cool. May I just interject that
sure.
for all of your listeners and for those who may listen later on the recording, I have taken your assessment. So I have to tell people it is crucial that you do that for yourself, that you invest in yourself to find out what God has placed in you, and that it is completely worth it. It is not just, you know, grandma's old spiritual gifts test, so to speak. It is in-depth. It is, oh, my goodness, multiple layers, and it just opens you up to what God has placed in there. And then when you get the advisement on, now what do you do in terms of steps? So that's my promo.
And so there you go. That's her promo.
I love it. Now, does that sound familiar?
It does. That's one of my former students.
I thought you would appreciate that.
Yes, yes.
But that opens the way for you to share with us how you use this information with your other mentees. And you know, this particular woman, she's in your field, isn't she?
She is. She's a life coach. She's a, community activist. She's a gifted speaker. Since she's graduated, comes back into my classes and speaks to the newbies that come into at the beginning of the program. And talks to them about, what they should do to be successful, hands out her cards, and she does, one-on-ones with them, and that's one way she grows her business. And then she talks to the students at the end of the program to let them know what the thesis process will be. And then she normally she's beginning to mentor and beginning to do life advisement sessions with some of the students, and to be honest with it, she's making some money. She's not just doing it for free. So.
Well, she should make money, don't you think?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So she's been a real help. Matter of fact, she just came a few days ago to speak to a class. So that's in the area of education. The other area is the area of ministry. I still get. Young people, young ministers, people who call me, and people who God puts on my heart to work with. So I would say that the other people that I work with are in the local church or in the ministry, in the Christian ministry. So there was a young pastor whose dad had just passed away, and his dad was an apostle. And I heard through the grapevine that he had passed, and saw that the funeral was happening, and that they would be in, their family would be in the city. And the Lord really began to move on me very heavily to begin to work with this young man. He hadn't talked to me in 15 years. I tried to get in contact with him, finally got in contact with him, was able to begin to speak to him about the apostolic mantle and the call that's on his life. And he's had me several times to speak for him, and we've been working together. And he's going to start a ministry training school that he wants me to help do curriculum for. And so that's, you know, kind of some of the things I do with some ministers. Also, I work with, you remember Bishop Probasso?
Who came I remember. A few years ago. How was he doing?
He's doing great. He's doing good. I did work with him and did work with his staff, spoke to his eldership. You know, and then preach for him, did some prophetic stuff with him, and that just that goes on and on and on with different people, different ministries. But to be honest, most of the stuff I do now is more marketplace, and most of the stuff I do is education. And so I'm doing a lot in those areas, did some mentoring and training stuff with some banks and a credit union. Credit unions too. Just, you know, wherever the Lord has me go, I go ahead and go that direction. But it's in ministry, it's in education, it's in the, you know, marketplace with businesses, I'm just looking for whatever God wants me to do, wherever He wants me to do it, I'll do it. So.
Wow. Well, you know, we're gonna meet you very soon because you're gonna be here as part of our Daniel Prophetic Forum. And I'm sure that it means a lot to you now on the other side of your Daniel environment work experience.
It does. It really does. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Matter of fact, I leave tomorrow morning about 5 a.m. So I'll get there sometime in late afternoon, there to help serve any way that I can. And I've already talked to Prophet Ashley about that. And I'm excited, Dr. Price.
But I'm excited about it, too, because I really am looking forward to it. And you're going to share some of this information with our attendees because I think the part that you shared was useful. When I think useful, I think the most useful thing that they can hear right now is that, number one, God wants to go ye into all the world. We've forgotten that as Christians. You know, we feel like God wants to go to church, and then we don't really want him there. But anyway, God wants us to go in all the world, and he wants us to disciple nations and not just, you know, folk around the corner. We need to disciple it all. But the thing that I liked that you said was that people have got to wrap their head around what it is to take this thing into the workplace, particularly in today's environment with so much spiritual energy and so much spiritual brazenness. You know, people are no longer hiding their other crafts and their other things. They are brazenly facing off with the Lord Jesus Christ, with his messengers, and with his ministers. And with that in mind, could you speak to the statement that Nebuchadnezzar makes about Daniel, about him being 10 times better?
Wow. That's funny you said that. Chief Prophet Tala and myself, in one of our sessions, talked extensively about that. It was one day I was at work, and it just kept coming to me. I kept hearing God say, 10 times better, 10 times better. And it's literally with skill and with anointing and with training and with preparation, I have seen and I am seeing that happen in the workplace. And it's interesting because sometimes at first you're thinking, okay, you know, this person's really good at their job. But as believers, we have an advantage. And, you know, we have the spiritual part down. So if we're willing to do the other work, I think that's the thing that takes us over the top and makes us 10 times better. Because we become not only as good and as prepared and as skilled in specific areas in the workplace. But if we become proficient and become masters in those areas, then we add that on top of our spiritual advantage, and then we're able to really be profitable for the Lord. And so
I think that's amazing. And I the reason I ask you is because, you know, I've loved your testimony. I loved how you presented it. I've loved how you've done everything that you're doing. But I think the part that I want is that people will learn to be confident. One of the things that I've taught recently, and I talk it a lot, and that is I believe it's time for us as Christians to exhibit that standard. If that's the standard that God set for us, then he obviously will endue us and endow us to meet that standard. And it begins with us knowing the criteria. We don't even know what, you know, like for like looks like many times in the prophetic. We don't know what a minimum standard is or maximum standard is or anything like that. But if we're talking about going out, because we get calls all week long about people talking about their call to the marketplace or their call to be the prophet or they want to be a prophet there and there. And I listen to some of the things they're saying. I think, you're going to get eaten alive. You know, you're going to get eaten alive because you don't have a clue about what's really out there. Because you felt that, right?
Yes, I have. I I'm going to just jump right in if you're okay with it. I really believe that when you begin to move into the marketplace, you have to, Christians have to take out of their mind that the warfare is vanilla only and that it only looks one way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that threw me when I came into the marketplace was there was warfare, but it was on so many different levels and people were vested at so many different levels that it really took me off guard. I was like, this person is a great person, but they're literally a witch. You know,
mm-hmm.
They're doing runes over here while they're coaching and and on and on and on. Or this person over here has all these meditation books and they're totally into leaving their body, going up a place. I mean, they're coaching, successfully coaching these students, these people. And so
wow.
I had to recognize that there was so many different levels of spiritual warfare and that I had to begin to prepare myself for that. And I had to be able to be successful and sit in the midst of it while I grew as a prophet. And I could not be taken out and taken away. I couldn't run from the process. That was
mm-hmm.
something. It would have been easy to run. I was like, oh my God, I'm out of here. These people are crazy, you know. And but I looked at it, I said, you know what? I'm supposed to be here. I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
And I'm
well,
going to stay.
Somebody has to have a candle.
yeah, and I'm going to stay. But that's what I think what happens a lot of times is Christians, they run out of there thinking that they're not supposed to be there because they're not ready for the spiritual warfare.
Wow. Well, I'm going to ask your advisor, how did you respond to that when he brought those issues to you? Are you there, Chief? Was she probably dropped off on us?
No, I didn't. I didn't realize that my phone was a little on mute. I'm sorry. Can you ask that question to me one more time? I was talking on
yes.
mute.
But I wanted to know, how did you respond to, what were your reactions to him telling you all of these things that were happening to him in the workplace?
Well, when I remember a particular, and I'm sure he'll remember this moment as well, I remember a particular moment, call, session we had when he was really experiencing the warfare that he was talking about. And I think that in that month, you know, he said he had a lot of strange occurrences and just happenings in his life, and he couldn't figure out what was going on. And also, I think that you can, you know, speak to this a little bit, too, to make sure that I'm getting the details exactly right of what was going on in the workplace and how you said you were called into your boss's office and was asked to repeat some things that you didn't realize would have some spiritual implications to them and the effects of that. And so working with him, knowing that this is kind of what he was being exposed to,
of course, I did a lot of prayer and intercession because of that, to keep him covered and hedged and all of those things. But we also had very open dialogue about, you know, the susceptibility of those spirits and being able to start identifying those things. And as he points out, taking the realities of working in the marketplace, I let him know that, you know, part of the reason why you wrote the dictionary was to help people like him be able to filter and identify what was going on. Like he said, this is, we're talking about people who are, look like everyday people. They're nice. And what was interesting with him too is we talked about how they sometimes will even agree with some of the things that you're saying about your faith and your belief system, you know, and they're saying, oh yeah, yeah, sure, I believe that, and they're going to add this too. And so his level of discernment needed to be increased, and that discernment can only be increased not by just anointing. We're having this great conversation about the anointing. And the anointing comes alongside as that enhancement, you know, that empowerment, that enablement. But it's not going to come along as the substance, okay? The substance and the content that God anoints is to be you. You have to build that. You have to put that in there. It's not going to just come. So we had to work on increasing his discernment faculties by increasing his knowledge and awareness. See, the training was very important because we had to start talking about these different spirits, these different deities, their belief systems, how they show up, and how he can begin to prepare himself for that. And also getting to know, like he said, the non-religious side of Jesus Christ, because he's in a spiritual environment, which is very different than a religious environment, because the spiritual environment, the rules are blurred because they're spiritual. So the intangible, the guards and the structures and the filters are soft. It's like software, you know, versus like we talked about that hardware and that hard tangible thing. You know, when you're dealing with religion, you're dealing with hard systemized rules. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't say that. That's not God. This is not God. We don't believe that, and you can't do it this way. When you start dealing with spirituality, it's like no holds barred. Like it's like stepping into a portal of, my God, everything. And he had to start setting up his own filters and his own guard, of course, using the word of God, and not just using the word of God like just chanting scripture, as you've already pointed out, but applying the wisdom, knowing God's mind on certain matters so that he can begin to distinguish those fine point differences between him sitting down and having this very intellectual and very non-confrontational conversation with the witch about his own faith and them agreeing and them, you know, come on, we know Sylvia Brown calls herself a Christian. Now, come on. So those soft conversations, those software conversations, he had to have that guard. So we had to do a lot of dialogue and conversation about identifying those things, making him aware, increasing his level of discernment by bringing him into the scriptures from the standpoint of God's eternal world, his mind on those matters, and how he navigates that versus giving him religious answers, pet things, and making him run around scared, okay? Because the fear had to go. Like, we can't walk around afraid. He had to go to work every day and feel comfortable and not feel vulnerable. You and I had that conversation very briefly about, you know, how a lot of times the church, when we so glorify the demonics and warfare, that you as a Christian start feeling unsafe and very vulnerable and susceptible, and how we could, you know, using the word of God, using the knowledge of God, coming out of that, using the fact that God is not a religion, okay, taking him out of that box, putting him in that environment where he has to go to work every day, and then showing him how God really conquers in those things and what makes our religion the best and the strongest, and why, how this whole process works, and really dealing with all of those intricacies that we don't want to touch in the church. So we walked through a lot of that. And did I get it right? All did we not?
Yes. Oh yes. Yes. There were lots of those times. I mean, I would even just add, I had to move from being rigid in my belief to having more of a way that God can flow fluidly in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was tough because rules and regulations often bring people to a place of being comfortable. And so I had become comfortable with the rigidity of my faith and my belief, and I had to take it and go, okay, now I have to turn this into water and really make it fluid in me so I can function in any way I need to function in Jesus Christ when I'm in the marketplace, in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. And hence you have tapped in to the law versus wisdom distinction. Wisdom is fluid, fits the circumstances. The law is rigid. That's why it was on stone. to let us know. There's no flexibility in that. But when you move into wisdom, now you're talking about softening those hard lines and taking that law off of the stone and putting it in the software format so that it's malleable and adaptable to what God wants to do. But guess what, guys? We have a couple of questions, callers on who want to ask us a question. So we're going to let Ashley put a call through.
Wow.
All right. Actually, Dr. Price, I have first on the line here, Chris. I had her for an assessment advisement yesterday. I punched her number up, and she's like, this is Chris. We were on the call yesterday together. And so I was like, all right then. And so she is going to share her testimony about her experience with the assessment, what it's done for her. And, Chris, why don't you share a little bit about what you plan on doing with these results? And, hey, if you have a question for Dr. Price, she is all ears.
Okay, great. Let me just say, I had shared with Ashley that I was a little apprehensive about taking the assessment, even though Chief Prophet Tala had spoken to me to take it. And the reason being is because I was anticipating God himself to clarify some things, because I had been told this from that person, something else from someone else, and I really wasn't, to put it lightly, I wasn't feeling it. It just didn't resonate within my spirit. So when you all had come to Arlington, Tennessee, and Chief Prophet Tala had suggested that I take it, I was like, okay. And I just prayed and said, Lord, this, let this be the final whatever you say. That's the way I'm going. And so when we had the opportunity, Prophet Ashley and myself, to speak yesterday, it was very enlightening. It was extremely informing. I was not anticipating part of the assessment in terms of God had told me that I was a prophet years ago, but then other people had come back and said different things later. And so that's where a lot of the confusion came. So having sat down yesterday and talked with Prophet Ashley and understanding some of the, especially the emotional aspect, and it took me to a recent time in my life and in ministry that I could see how that would come out. And I sat all day today and tried to figure out what question did I answer that caused that to manifest. So that'll give you some insight into my analyticalness.
So did it tell you that you were a prophet?
An apostolic prophet.
Ooh, you are really going there. What did you say your secondary gift was?
Prophetic.
So you are in it. Did it tell you your environment?
I was surprised at that, in the church.
In the church. And you want to get out of it, right?
I really believe that I was more geared toward outward, outside ministry, outside the church. While I recognized I was not an evangelist, but just trying to, if you will, herd the sheep back into their position.
You want to herd them back into their position, but you want to be outside. You want your cattle prod to go through the window. Is that how you want that to go? Don't you want to reach my prod through the window, I'm going to push you in, goad you in, but I myself, I'm going to stand outside in the parking lot.
The vision didn't go quite that way, but I get your meaning.
So, tell me, Chris, what are you going to do with this information?
Well, as Ashley so eloquently put it, she says, I know you're a woman of prayer, which she know I commune with the Lord all the time. And it was interesting because I think prior to even having to ask the Lord about it, I am going to get on the live tracks. One of the things that I recognize that would be extremely advantageous for me is a mentor. Because of the way my husband and I do, his job causes us to move around a lot. So if I had a mentor that was stable and I called in, that would make that would help me tremendously.
Great. Now, what do you do for a living? What is your profession?
I am a doctoral student. I'm finishing up my master's I have a master's in clinical psych, and I'm augmenting it with a doctorate in pastoral counseling. So I'm in the process of getting set up for the practicum internship and then writing my dissertation.
So let me ask you, so you are augmenting it with pastoral counseling, and you're stunned that it came up that your environment is the church?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to lose that, okay? I'm going to leave that alone. But are you? Would you happen to have any comments or questions for Dr. O since he's walked your walk?
Well, you know what's interesting? When he talked about the compatibility that he saw with his training, his schooling, and what he was learning, I found that fascinating because I found the total opposite. I attend Liberty University, and God had started dealing with me with understanding the supernatural. And so I found that I had a hard time and still, you know, struggle through with providing them with the papers that they are asking when I don't necessarily believe that. I believe that there are more demonic influences than we understand in academia.
Okay, Dr. Off, you want to address that?
Wow. You know, sometimes it has to do with, sometimes it's the school, it has a tradition. And so what's the tradition doctrinally, and are they pushing you in a certain direction? And do you think that's what you're feeling, is though because of the doctrine, and is it pushing you a certain direction that you might not fully, you might not fully embrace?
Definitely. They are fundamental Baptists, Southern Baptists.
Okay. So, yeah, the region is more on the charismatic Pentecostal angle,
right.
And so they're a little bit more open. So I never felt the push doctrinally, or at least I did, I basically was in agreement with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that's a tough one. That's a tough one to have to work through because you're almost having to satisfy the requirement and at the same time be able to walk through the assessments and everything. So sometimes it might seem a little, seem like they're maybe fighting against each other. So how much time do you have left in your program?
I've completed all the coursework, and I just had to sit for the 8-hour exam. I've done my proposal. I've gotten my proposal approved. My dissertation is going to be on forgiveness, utilizing the males and females in detention centers, doing a quantitative study on forgiveness. So that's in the making. I just have to come to terms with, I have this thing, if I write it, it's what I believe, and so I'm getting beyond the providing them what they need versus what I really believe.
Okay, let me help you out with that. I'm going to jump in here on that. Let me tell you something. Your belief system and their academia are not necessarily mutually exclusive. Now, let me say this. If they're Baptist, there is some element of Jesus Christ up in there somewhere.
Right.
But you are in a field where they just want you to use their language. You can phrase that in non-religious, non-Christian language because you're dealing with the soul. And the soul is the soul is the soul. So if you will set aside your bias and set aside your resistance because it's not symbiotic with your spiritual makeup or experience, and you start writing the truth using the language that they'll accept. So you have to buy yourself a thesaurus, get online and get a couple of dictionaries, but this is a doable thing for you.
And that's where I am. I'm getting to the point where I realize, you know what, this is not my thesis. This is just another part of the program that I just have to get beyond. And all they want to know is that I can give them back what they want to hear.
And I want to add to that, which is accurate, but I'd like to add to that if I could encourage you, and that is you're not going to go to church. You're not getting a degree to go to church. You're getting a degree to go to the detention places where those people don't know your language either.
That's true.
So, we're kind of straining at a knot on this. If you were going to say, I'm going to be a pastor in the local church, I'm going to say all day long because you're going to pick a charismatic church or whatever, and you're going to have a blast. But that's not what you're saying. You're going to a church that mirrors that school's belief and value system. You're going into a career that mirrors that school's belief and value system.
Right.
So you're going in, and unfortunately, and I say this to so many people, this is being armed for the battle you're going to fight, not the retreat and not your vacations. This is, you're going in the detention centers where these people have been in everything.
Right.
And they're not going to understand your language anyway.
No.
They're not. So you, what I want you to do, if you could, just in this last little brief period of time that you have to do this, you need to stop making this about you and start making it about the people that you are going to serve. Go ye into all the world.
All the world.
Now, the world, if they knew what you knew, you wouldn't have to go to them. Y'all all be sticking together.
Right.
But that's not true. So the thing is, what you're going to do, and talk about forgiveness, you got to really let go of those biases. Because let me tell you what I do know about the Jesus we serve, and we all have to get corrected on a regular basis. God is love.
Yes.
And nobody could have been more incompatible with his neighbors than Jesus Christ coming from heaven, having to be on a planet with us.
Yeah.
Come on.
Now, that's incompatible. This man comes from being God, where his very thoughts are heard and obeyed before he gets them out, and now he got to come down here and walk on donkey dude.
That's so true.
And hang on a cross and die for us. And you know what? He did it, and he loved us through it. And I'm telling you, if all of you all are out in these educational programs, there's no need to go to school in the world if you are not going to prepare yourself to minister Jesus Christ to your world.
Wow.
Then you might as well go to a nice little church Bible study and stay on in the house. So aren't you glad I got your call through?
I really am, because you know what? I needed that. I really needed that perspective, because I know God has been pushing me to go back, and I'm like, you know, hesitant, knowing that I was going to do it, because he told me to do it, but what I got today is a different perspective, and when you put Jesus there and made me look at him and think about what he experienced and what he accomplished as a result of what he experienced and how I benefited from it, I have no choice but to do it.
Mm-hmm. And love the reason he gave his life, because he died for those people. He poured out his blood for those people. And I have a newsflash for you, beloved. He died not just for the people who agree with him. He died for the people who don't agree, because he felt like they should have a right to disagree, just like we have a right to agree.
To agree. That's beautiful.
Because that's the one thing you cannot, you know, and it's difficult. I'm not going to tell you that it's always easy, because immediately you have all of this tension between you and the opposing forces. But when you pull yourself out of that, those people have just as much right to reject Jesus or anything else as you have to accept him. That's the cross. The cross doesn't just have a face. It has a back. And so I'm going to encourage you, and I ask God to just give you peace and to bless you and to anoint you to let him step in your soul and get this thing done, so that when you go into the workplace, the one or two souls that he has promised that he's going to help, you're going to be equipped to do it.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow.
I'm excited about it. I can't wait. See, you done got me all fired up. Look at that.
I woke up excited. I woke up excited, so I'll be leaving here in the morning, headed to Tulsa.
And we'll be waiting for you when you get here. God bless you, my beloved.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Amen. Bye-bye. So, Dr. Off, what do you think about our caller here?
Oh, man, that is good stuff. I mean, those are the kind of shifts that are going to happen on a consistent basis during her advisements. I mean, it's just started, and it's going to consistently be done throughout the. That's what happened to me. Just each time I met, shift after shift after shift after shift, to the point where, you know, after a while, it's like, Jesus, what do you want me to do? I don't have a view on this.
I hear you. Well, you know, I'm excited. We have a few more minutes left. I think we, Ashley, do you think we have time for one more caller?
Well, I mean, you went pretty deep, Dr. Price. I was shouting in my room talking about we need to pass the plate. That was good.
Well, you know, and aren't you glad, because that's going to be one of your advisees, right?
Yes, she is. Chris is going to be all mine.
And it's going to be wonderful. Isn't she sweet, though? Precious woman of God.
She is.
Precious.
She is. When I was talking to her, she reminds me of your oldest daughter. When I was talking to her, I thought, oh, wow, I feel like I'm talking to somebody I already know.
Oh, I'm telling you, just a tender-hearted soul. And, you know, I'm excited about her going to school because, you know, we don't want to admit it because we're going against, you know, a decades-old mentality. But these people need to get these educations. They need to understand what the weapons of their warfare are. You know, Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, for pulling down the strongholds, casting down arguments. How are you going to do that if you don't know them? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and of Christ, we have to do that. And so I'm a firm believer. Now, if you'd have talked to me, if you'd spoken to me on this subject, I don't know, 15 years ago, I would have given you a whole different answer. But, you know, thank God be praised. He does not stop until he gets what he wants. And so I'm excited about her going to get her degree and not sacrificing Jesus Christ for it. And if I had one thing that's a passion in my heart is that we help these people navigate these educational thoughts and ideologies and still walk away more powerfully saved than they were. Daniel went through all that education, and it did not destroy his relationship with God, but it actually fueled his devotion to his God. Now, he had to learn everything that the Babylonians knew, and then he has to work for a king that does not like his God. And he yet ended up being so advanced. And so my thought is that we have to stop telling me, I love what you said, Chief, about them. Stop making people feel afraid. We are who we are. We're good at what we do. And listen, here's my thought. Every God is gone fishing. May the best God win.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Hallelujah.
Put it on a
t-shirt. They all fishing. They all have a, listen, they all got a mandate. They all got to go get what belongs to them. There's no, I mean, just because everybody doesn't want Christ, doesn't discredit him, and that's just the way it is. He just happens to be the top of the heap. But we still have to recognize that God needs to talk to these people. They need to know what they're rejecting. They need to understand. You know, I don't care if you decide I don't want Jesus Christ, but let's have an informed decision that we don't want him because, you know, I don't like red. I don't like the blood being red on the cross. I don't like the fact that he was walked on earth. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is we as Christians must do our job, and we must do our job because God is not sending us for everybody who likes him. Most of us can say, and I'm sure you could say it too often, most of us, we didn't like God too much when we first met him. We didn't know him. You know, we were dodging him like everybody else was. We were ducking the God. Oh, no, because, you know, first of all, you would never have any fun, or you would have to die and go to heaven, and everybody, that was boring. And until you know the truth, that's what you believe. And so, but if you're going to school, then you're going to school to get armed for the field that God is going to set you in as his minister. So go there with the best credentials and the best equipment you can get. And then come out and let's win for the king. Do you have any closing remarks?
You know, I would just say, you know, just echo what you said. I mean, get your education. If God is saying go and get your education, then do that. And the second thing I would say is connect with PPM Global to help facilitate your growth during that process. And it's helped me, and I believe it can help you. So,
amen. Well, I certainly thank you for being a part of this tonight. I hope it was enjoyable for you as it was for us. We had a wonderful time just sharing with you this evening. It's been great.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure. It's a dream. It's exciting to hear, you know, talk with you and Ashley and Chief. And I want to publicly say thank you to Chief Prophet Tala for the time she has invested in me.
Amen. She is a blessing, isn't she?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Now, Chief, you have 2 minutes to make your closing remarks, and then I'll wrap it up, and we'll close on another announcement.
Oh, amen. Well, again, tonight was another great call, getting a chance to see another aspect of what the assessments can do beyond, taking the actual questionnaire, what happens after the results, and how you can see from this, how you can implement them, and how they can really, impact your life if they are utilized. And so I was glad that we had an opportunity to share that tonight, to even talk about the success of our post-assessment programs, our Life Tracks programs, our life advisement, ministerial advisement, all of those things that we do to see to it that people get into their destiny. And so I do encourage people to take the assessment, to get on a program afterwards, to really embrace the whole entire process. If you haven't done so, please visit us, www.ppmglobalresources.com, or you can give us a call to even set up a preliminary advisement with one of our advisors to find out more about our programs, 877-419-1299. We'd love to hear from you about this.
And I want to thank everyone who listened. Remember, we always post these stay online. So you can go back and listen, share it with your friends and all of that. But I want to thank all of you all for being a part of it. And I also want to invite you all to check in with us Thursday morning. We will be sharing parts of our event with you on our Thursday morning call. Don't want you to miss that. So until next week when we cover another aspect of this thing, we want you to have a blessed week. And, Ashley, we're going to turn it over to you for our final announcement.
Well, thank you for tuning in to another powerful, mind-blowing evening with Dr. Paula Price and her special guest. Tonight, as she said, we are in the Tulsa Prophetic Forum this week, and guess what? It is not too late to register. If you are in driving distance, flying distance, walking distance, biking distance, you need to show up and not miss this moment and this opportunity. Registrations are still coming in today. People are driving. I spoke with someone who is coming from Louisiana yesterday. She said, I told my boss I will not be here Wednesday through Friday. And her boss thought she was joking. She said, no, I have to go to Tulsa. I have to be in Tulsa this week. So we know that God is pressing. Take advantage of this. Don't miss this amazing opportunity. And God bless you all. And some of you we will be seeing as soon as tomorrow. Others, we will definitely be hearing you on the line on Thursday.
Welcome to PPM Global Resources, your one-stop ministry resource company. Whether ministry, professional, or personal, our products cover a diverse range of subjects, topics, and ministry issues that hit the center of where you are. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Explore the possibilities to conquer your world. Where are you going today? Ready to launch your own ministry? Want to develop a ministry training program? Looking for credible ministry education? You want guidance or direction? Maybe you just want to discover who you are. If you are a purpose seeker, looking for fresh resources, new ministry solutions, and endless possibilities, then welcome to PPM Global Resources, a ministry and professional resources company dedicated to meeting the needs of the 21st century minister. Why choose PPM Global? Because you want something better. We help build your vision, educate you in your calling, train you to succeed, teach you valuable skills, equip you to achieve, release you to conquer your world. Our business is your interests, whether ministry, professional, or personal. Our products cover a diverse range of subjects, topics, and ministry issues that hit the center of where you are. Think of us as your personal vision support team. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Your success is our passion. Check us out online or contact us at 877-649-PPMG.